You're listening to the Build Assets Online Podcast. Learn how you can build a diverse and sustainable income online from two brothers who actually do it. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Joe.
Welcome back, Joe and Mike, buildassetsonline.com. What an exciting episode we have for you today. This has kind of been an episode that, you know, I feel like because we're boomers, we should have probably covered this a year ago. But, you know, now me and Mike are finally exploring it. We're seeing what's going on in this world of NFTs. And we're going to use our experience. I don't want to say expertise, but we're going to use our experience in this world of making money online to give you insights into what's the best thing to do to make money fast online, to build wealth as fast as possible online. Is it dropshipping the way we teach it, high ticket dropshipping? Or is it flipping digital artwork and other digital assets on the blockchain? What is it, Mike? What's your opening statement?
You know what I say, Joe? If you're not a Zoomer, you're a Boomer. And while we're, you know, we've been doing things the traditional way of, you know, tangible goods online, maybe there's a new way. Maybe we don't know what we're talking about. So I know we got a lot of young people that listen to us, some older people older than us. So I think this is going to be a bit controversial, whichever way you slice it. And so maybe off the gate, we should kind of explain when we say NFTs, what we're talking about, because our audience may not know. And I mean, up until like 3 days ago, I really didn't know. And, you know, we prolonged talking about this for a while just because I didn't understand what the hell it was.
Well, I feel like you knew, but you didn't know. Like you knew what it was, but I feel like you couldn't really explain it. You know, you didn't have firsthand experience with it. So, you know, I feel like I knew less than you last week. But this week, I feel like now we both see what's going
now
on.
Now I kind of get it. So we're prepared to make this video. But yeah, maybe some Zoomer is going to come in here and say, you guys know what you're talking about. I flipped an ape for a thing and I made $1 million. Well, that's good. But we'll compare it to what we do and we'll see what's going on.
So Mike, let's get to the hardest part of the stream for us because we're boomers. What is an NFT? How are we going to explain this to our viewers who might not know what it is?
So an NFT stands for non-fungible token. And so basically all you need to know is if you've ever been on Twitter or, you know, just seen people with like these little 8-bit drawings, basically what it is someone will make a piece of art, essentially. And then you can mint that art on the blockchain. So it's like it's verifiable that you own this piece of art, right? And what people have been doing is creating communities around, you know, their avatars, their artwork. And like I said, doing things to drive the value up. And people have been making plays, you know, buying these NFTs, watching them grow, flipping them, etc. And so there's like the avatar part of NFTs where, you know, for example, like CryptoPunks, where it's just, again, a community and everyone has their avatar and that's the art. Or you have things like artists will do where they'll drop, say, like an exclusive piece of artwork for, you know, people will bid on it. And then that's, you know, an NFT as well. And so there's a lot of ways that this plays out. And again, I'm by no means an expert. But this is kind of what we'll be talking about. But it's, What do you got to say about this, Joe? Did I cover it well enough?
Yes, and I've heard the explanation many times for what an NFT was. Well, not really, but I heard it before. I knew what it was, but I didn't understand what it was until I started to join like the Discords of people that were doing NFTs. Like I joined the Apes of Space Discord, and in summary, what it is, it's a bunch of people who own these digital they own individual pieces of digital artwork. So the way that this Apes one started, a lot of them are like this. Someone created a piece of code that randomly created 10,000 pictures of apes. And these apes all have different attributes. Like some of them have a hat, some of them have like a cigar or like a different suit. And, you know, the suits have different attributes. So different apes are more rare than others. Like the ape with like the psychedelic hoodie and the black hat, it, you know, might have like a 2% chance of existence. And then, so all these 10,000 apes are different, and you can own specific apes, and people trade these apes on the blockchain. The best way to understand it, I feel, is to first join some of these discords. That's the best way I can explain it. So you could just Google like apes of space, CryptoPunks, like what are some of the other ones, like Bored Ape Yacht Club. You can go to OpenSea, yeah. OpenSea.io, and kind of see what's for sale and how much Ethereum it costs and stuff like that. But so part of it is owning these digital things. Part of it is these digital things grant you like a pass to, you know, there's like perks to owning them. Like if you own an ape of space, you probably get access to different parts of the Discord. And then so if the ape of space community comes out with like another piece of art, or then you get access to that, or they come out with like exclusive merch. So it kind of builds on itself. Like, so you own an ape of space, and then they come out with like a dog that's, and if you can only get it if you own it. And now the dogs are exclusive, and then they drop shirts and the shirts are exclusive. And eventually it's going to transition to like, you can be your ape in like a virtual world. So these assets span across many different mediums online. So it's really like the first instance of digital ownership that we've seen. And that's that's probably a terrible explanation.
Digital property.
Yes. So that's about it. And so long story short, some of this digital property gets flipped for a lot of money. So if you go to OpenSea.io and you type in, I don't know if CryptoPunk is on. So if you type in CryptoPunk, I'm looking at some of this stuff that's sold. So like, I'm actually going to attach a screenshot here. I don't know about what this specific thing is. So this is... W3853 wrapped CryptoPunks. I don't know if this is like the original one, but apparently this one sold recently for 15 Ethereum. I don't know if I'm reading that. Like, how much is 15 Ethereum, Mike?
Somewhere between 60 and $75. Right now,
15. So 15.
Right now, Ethereum. Right now, Ethereum is trading at like maybe 4,600.
Right. So 15 Ethereum is how much? So
4,600 times 15.
Yeah.
The 4,000 times 15 would be like 60,000, and then
so 70,000 is this 69,000. Yeah. If you can see some of these little digital pieces of artwork to claim ownership, you know some of these things sell for tens of thousands, if not millions. You can kind of see that on OpenSea.io. Now, with those kind of – so people, you know, some people have bought this kind of stuff at extremely low prices. Yeah, and another – this is not an NFT, but like some people have bought like the guy who made a billion off of the Shiba Inu coin. Some people buy pieces NFTs for dirt cheap and then sell them for a million, if not more.
Yeah, usually if you get in on an NFT, like when they originally start, it's usually probably under 0.1 Ethereum to buy it. So there's a couple $100. And yeah, I mean, one of your friends, Joe, that we kind of were doing an FBA business with at one point, you know, after we stopped doing that, we didn't hear from him for a while. And then, you know, he's older than you, so he's super boomer. You know, we're like, what's up, man? What you been into? He's like, oh, man, I've been flipping these NFTs. He's telling us how he's making, you know, $30,000 here, X amount of dollars here. He's got a lot of them. But Yeah, I guess what we're going to have to talk about is how it just compares to doing things the traditional way, Jim. Buying and selling real products.
Well, let's first, I want to establish my take on it after learning a bit more about this. And I feel like I can truly give a better perspective on how it compares to online business. So when you're getting into flipping NFTs, say, it depends who you are. So our friend that you're talking about, he gets paid very well. He has a very, very high paying job. Money is not a problem for him. He can take many, 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 this term is thrown around in the crypto community a lot. He can take many, many asymmetrical bets and be totally fine. He can, you know, right, spend probably tens of thousands on NFTs. Some might go to zero. Some might return 100x. But in the end, that's going to be worth it for him because he has the money to do that.
Right. And so I think the place from which we're going to discuss this is like, okay, you're living in your mom's basement. How do you get out of your mom's basement? Right. Do you throw your allowance in on the next CryptoPunk, or do you start a dropshipping store? Right. If you're already making a lot of money, that's kind of a separate discussion.
Right. And I want to talk about it from the perspective of having what's your personal and business balance sheet, and what's your personal and business cash flow, because
we're getting so corporate.
Because the way you need to think about this is that there is a lot of money to be made with NFTs and crypto and all that. But the way you make a lot of that money, I think, is by having a strong cash flow and being in a good position to take on some of these bets that may, you know, lose drastically. The same with crypto coins. Not to mention that in any sort of business, this is stuff I'm learning new lately, Mike. It makes sense to have the cash flow part of the business and then the balance sheet part of the business. So what's your business bringing in? And then what are you doing with those dollars, that currency that your business is trading in? Are you holding it in dollars? Are you using it as operating expenses? Are you putting it back into the business to, you know, to do something else to get more cash flow? Or are you putting it into different assets, whether that be mutual funds, individual stocks, crypto coins, NFTs? Because all these are things that, you know, at the end of the day, perform a higher function than a US dollar, because they're going to hold their, well, when I say a higher function, they can lose all their value, but they can also go up a lot in value. So if you play your cards right, you know, you want to have your assets growing, you know, so you can sell them later or to provide you cash flow in the future. So you don't want to just hold a bunch of dollars for 30 years, for 10 years, because that's going to be just pointless, because inflation's going to wipe that out, as we all know.
Yeah, and that's really, I think, a lot of the reason why we're having this discussion. Like, if we tried to talk about this maybe 3 years ago, I don't think I would have been able to wrap my brain around taking all the money you're making and putting it into something else. Because for me, I was just trying to, like, get the money in my bank account up. You know, I couldn't understand why I would take this money in my bank account and put it into something that may in fact go down, whether it is stocks or, you know, even Bitcoin, whatever. All those things, they do have the capacity to crash. And so in my mind, holding dollars was like the safest bet to ensure I can get where I wanted to go in like the next 5 years. But now we're really in a time where the rate at which they're printing money, the way inflation is going up, having dollars is like, I mean, people have used this analogy, but it's literally melting ice cream. You have this ice cream cone, your dollars are the ice cream. It's just pouring down all onto you. And so there, you need a better solution than to have your money in these US dollars. And I think right now, yeah, like things like index funds, Bitcoin, you know, even in real estate, are just better places to park your money after you have enough set aside in dollars for like emergency purposes.
Well, the truth is, it's always, I mean, in our lifetime, oh my God, our viewers are dropping off so fast.
Oh my God.
Is the stream broken?
I don't know.
No. So the truth is that at least in our lifetime, I think it's always been like that. So ever since the index fund instrument was created, I think in the 70s, it's probably been a better store of value than, you know, it's outperformed gold, it's outperformed US dollars. So there's always been, historically, probably as far back as you can think, there's always been a better store of value than your country's currency. Because no currency has survived, has survived the test of time, that's for sure. But, you know, things like land has, things like, well, some real estate has, some real estate hasn't. But all that type of thing, you know, if you own would you rather own a house for 100 years? That's obviously, it has to be a stable house. Or would you rather own the cost of the house in dollars 100 years ago? So, I don't know. I feel like we're going in kind of a loop here, but.
Well, the point I'm getting at is that I think a lot of people now are seeing, again, you know, we had COVID, they're printing a lot of money. I think it's now even more visible, like how quickly things are going up in cost. So yeah, what do you do with your money, right? And so.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just our houses. Like, I own a rental property and I own my regular house. It's crazy. Like, they're like in the past year, the past 5 years since I bought my rental property, it went up like $100,000, like something crazy. Yeah. That's unprecedented. Like, it's like a 75% increase. And so if that's not, obviously there's market demands and stuff like that, but if that's not a sign of inflation, I don't know what is. That's the cost of living right there.
Yeah, exactly. And so if your money is in dollars, the dollars are becoming worth less. Meanwhile, if you were the one with the house is now, you know, it's an increase in value. Your wealth went up. The person holding the dollars, their wealth went down. So, Joe, what do we think about dropshipping?
I think dropshipping is a means of, like I said, it's the cash flow side of the business. And you need a strong cash flow side of any personal finance or business finance situation to bring in the currency to buy the assets. And dropshipping allows you to do that. And if you own a dropshipping store, say for 3 to 5 years, the dropshipping store is going to not really be impacted by inflation that much because the store itself is an asset. The products you're selling fluctuate in price based on inflation. So, and it's an asset that brings in cash flow. If you own Bitcoin and the Bitcoin goes up 10x in a year, you don't really want to sell, you know, you sell all that Bitcoin, you lose your asset. There's no more cash flow, and plus you pay taxes on that sale, so it's not really advisable to sell an investment like that. What you want to do is you want to get strong cash flow coming in. That's what a dropshipping store can bring you, not the way that you're going to see dropshipping presented on YouTube, the low-ticket dropshipping. I equate the low-ticket AliExpress Facebook ad dropshipping stuff. I equate that with NFTs and with crypto, like with these crypto bets in general. Like, they're exactly the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have a, you know, you could have put $1,000 on some shitcoin a year ago, and then it blows up, and then you make a lot of money. Well, that's great. You may have made a couple $100,000, but for the majority of people, that's not what's going to happen, because there are so many things outside of your control, like timing, like the bet you make. For example, did you put it into this coin or did you put it into that coin? So there's so many things outside of your control. And with low ticket, it's kind of the same thing. Like, you really have to just hit the nail on the head, hit a bullseye with your ads, with all that stupid stuff. But with high ticket dropshipping, you really control your destiny 100%. You control what suppliers you call. You control if you're able to get in with them or not. You control your ads account. You control the products that you're selling. You control your customers. And so at the end of the day, everything is on you. And it's the best way for taking just a low amount of dollars and creating a lot of cash flow out of that. And then at the end of the day, once you have that cash flow, you can start looking into storing it in, you know, if you want to put a percentage of it in NFTs, if you want to put a percentage of it in crypto, in real estate, etc. That's what you do. but you can't really compare that, you know, an NFT to dropshipping for making money, because an NFT, it's a bet. You know, all these ones that have gone up, all these NFTs that have gone up significantly, like Bored Ape Yacht Club and CryptoPunk, etc., it's really uncharted territory. No one was going to know what was going to happen with that. Dropshipping, you know what's going to happen month over month.
I just want to comment, Mike. the viewers have like dropped off and then like come back up, and now we're at 16 live viewers. Obviously not that many. But the chat has dissolved into like some weird crypto chat that I see when I join like a crypto related live stream. So I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know what our boy is. Joel D and JJ the same person? I think it is. He's changing his name mid chat. It doesn't I don't know. We start talking about crypto stuff.
Maybe this was a mistake.
Yeah, I'll just end it here.
This obviously, none of this is investment advice. That's the typical disclaimer you see on these kind of things. But I think, yeah, if you want to control the difference between placing a bet, like, so when you're creating cash flow, what you put in, the work you put in, is directly correlated with what you get out. And I think that's the key insight here, is that if you put a lot of effort and a lot of time, whether it's your time or time that you've outsourced into a dropshipping store, and you don't do things that are, you know, totally wrong or totally messed up, there's a very, very strong chance you're going to see a high return, you know, a high monthly profit, a big exit that's directly correlated to the time and the work you put in. Mm. When you're doing investing, especially high risk investing like NFTs or like crypto, it's not quite like that. It's the opposite, but it can go either way. You can put in a little bit of work and see a huge return, or you can put in a ton of work, a ton of research, a ton of time, and see literally, abysmal, negative, go to zero. So that's why,
right,
again, you have to think of your cash flow and your balance sheet, and your balance sheet has to be strong and, well-balanced, I think, if you want to be wealthy in the long term.
Right. It's all about producing a predictable outcome, and an outcome that increases in magnitude and rate of success over time. And you simply can't get that by throwing money into a bunch of NFTs. With dropshipping, all it really takes is a year or two, to be honest, to where you understand how to create six-figure stores repeatedly. Yeah. So the margins are predictable, the ad spend is predictable, and so yeah, you have stable income coming in every day. And that's what you need in order to create enough wealth so that you can reinvest in some of these stupid coins that may 100x in value. But if they don't, what are you going to do? You're still stuck in your mom's basement.
Yeah, and when you pull up a graph, like when you pull up your Shopify store and you look at your sales for the day, or you pull up, you know, I pull up my Mediavine account and I look at, which is growing rapidly, I look at all the ad revenue generated yesterday. I look at that and I think, okay, how many NFTs is that? How many Bitcoin is that? How many Ethereum is that? How much of a fraction of a property is that? And the beautiful thing is that most likely, knock on wood, is going to be coming again tomorrow. Whereas when I look at the price of Bitcoin every day, I'm going to be on this emotional roller coaster of ups and downs, because it's going to be down one day and up another. So, yeah, I think.
Yeah, if your money is in these things, you shouldn't need to take the money out of them. You need a separate place for your money to be generated. And so for us, like we've been saying, dropshipping is the best way, because it's an asset too. And it's an asset that is actually increasing over time. The valuations that we get on our dropshipping stores now versus even 3 or 4 years ago is actually pretty significant. Like on a dropshipping store in 2018, you're not going to get over 30x monthly profit when you try and sell your store. But now, just through the nature of the internet, just through the industry growing itself, I would say 30x would be kind of minimum that you would get on a dropshipping store.
Yeah. And so, you know, you turned me on to this guy, Michael Saylor, who's really obviously into investing in Bitcoin. He owns a company called MicroStrategies, and he's solidified a lot of these ideas for me about the balance sheet and about the cash flow. I mean, I kind of understood them, but I didn't really understand them in a way that I can explain it. And what's pretty cool about the company that he's a part of, MicroStrategy, is that they actually own online assets. I don't even know what kind of online assets they own. I'm looking at it. I'm trying to figure it out now, but I know they used to own alarm.com, right? And they own all sort of these, a bunch of these like huge or like one word domain names. And so they actually, at a much bigger scale, this publicly traded company does the same thing that we're saying. But we don't do it in a big corporate building, you know, dressed up in the green bean suits. We just do it from our house.
Slowly we're evolving towards that that general direction.
Yeah, feel like every day now is a meeting, and there's corporate jargon being thrown around, and it's slowly and slowly becoming a nightmare. So,
yeah. Yeah, the bigger you start to build something, the more it just slowly creeps towards corporate madness, right? Because you hire employees, and then you have a bunch of employees, and now you got to manage the employees. So now you got to meet with the employees or meet with the manager who meets with the employees, and so it all just slowly creeps towards a corporate asymptote.
And we were talking about this before the call, Mike. We said we were going to talk about it after. But, you know, our accountant right now is really busy. I think this is really hitting everyone, the whole COVID situation. You know, he's dealing with the PPP loans and just all this stuff that happened in 2020 that trickles down and affects so many businesses in 2021. Our accountant right now is, you know, more busy than usual. And kind of swamped. And there's things that we want to do that we need his counsel on. So what we were discussing was, I feel like in 2021, after all this stuff, in 2022, after when all this stuff kind of dies down, I feel like we need to have regularly scheduled meetings, quarterly meetings. And these are the kind of corporate activities that we're talking about. But there's really only the whole point of these meetings, that why corporate entities meet so much, is because when there's so many moving puzzle pieces and you're dealing with so many different departments and so many different people, and each department and each person, they're working on their own thing. And it's just about keeping the train moving in the direction that it's supposed to be going, because it really turns from a golf cart that you're driving, you could turn it any direction you want, to a train where you can't, you know, it's not easy to steer it.
Yeah. I can't believe you haven't watched Succession, Joe. It's really on par with what we're talking about. But so, I mean, there's a point in the show where essentially it's like this $1 billion, family that owns this publicly traded company. And one of the kids is trying to like take over the company. And the dad is like an old, like hard ass boomer. And at one point, like, he's just screaming. He's like, "I'm trying to steer a freaking tanker." Meaning, he's got this huge corporate entity he has to save. And so, yeah, I mean, so with that being said, Joe, you know, the NFTs, they're light, they're airy fairy. You can take them in, you can throw them out. That's what's so appealing, is that, you know, maybe if we started doing everything a couple years into the future, like now, we might have fallen into this, I don't want to say trap, but we might have just fallen into this whole craze, because it is so light, it is so flexible, and I think that's really appealing to a lot of people. It was certainly very appealing to me about dropshipping a few years ago, because you can control your ad spend, you can control really everything about the business, and you can pivot if you're, you know, one thing isn't working. And that's really, I think, one of the major ways that we changed the dropshipping game, was we took the dropshipping approach and we did make it as light and as flexible as possible. But there comes a point where the dropshipping store starts to grow to that it's not the golf cart anymore. It's not the Ski-Doo jet ski. You know, I'd say right now we have like a yacht.
Wait, did you buy a jet ski?
I might soon.
Oh, I thought you
already bought one. Yet.
Okay. Huh? I thought you already got one for some reason.
Oh no, it's on the list. 2022, nice. Definitely gonna have a jet ski. But, yeah, I think really as you start to have success and you know you actually create the asset and the asset becomes worth more and more, it's just inevitable. With the NFTs, as they become worth more and more, it really has no bearing on you. It doesn't become like a bigger burden of management.
You know, I'm sure you can have a team that's researching and doing all this stuff. If you're a whale, as they say, if you're an NFT whale, I'm sure you can have a team and you know, you could be driving a tanker of some kind.
Oh yeah, in succession.
Yeah. So I'm sure it could work either way, but yeah, I think the entry point when we're talking about NFTs versus dropshipping, it just seems like a lot easier. It seems on the surface a lot easier to get into NFTs.
Yeah. No, it's easy. It's easy to get in. But again, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Because you can easily get into the wrong thing or you can get into the right thing. And so it's about how you spend your time. If you're going to commit 5 years of your life to something, I would much rather commit 5 years to online business where the skills that I'm going to acquire are going to increase exponentially versus just being in like crypto where, you know, yeah, you can learn how to do better research and, you know, you can get a better idea of the space, but really the impact that's going to have on your execution and your rate of success, may not, it's not as, you know, significant, right? Like I think you can get for analogy's sake, I'd say with dropshipping or online business in general, like, you know, doing the blogs, doing the land stuff, even, you know, anything that we teach, after a couple years, your rate of success goes up, I think, into the 90s as far as creating a profitable asset. With, you know, crypto, it's basically just speculating. I mean, so you really probably can't get beyond a 70%. You can't get beyond a 70%. And I mean, even if you look at like the big hedge funds and mutual, whatever the hedge fund companies, like they have trouble even beating the stock market a lot of the time.
Yeah. People who bet for a living, people who make bets for a living lose bets all the time. There's nothing, you know, there's no doubt about it.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I think I would much rather do something that approaches 100% success rate and then take that money from my success and throw it into more asymmetrical bets.
Yeah. And you know, like we're talking about, you don't have a choice but to throw it in something.
Exactly. Yeah. Can't have it in dollars. That's for sure.
So my strategy, Mike, we've talked about this. We've talked about Dave Ramsey. My strategy is to hold zero personal debt. I'm gonna own credit cards, Dave. So hold your horses. Hold zero personal debt. Paid off rental properties. Paid off primary residence. And you know, use that extra cash flow every month to invest aggressively. And I think when you do it that way, it actually stabilizes things. So I'm starting to buy Bitcoin now. But if I were to take a huge chunk of money and throw it into Bitcoin because I got Bitcoin fever, you know, I could see a drastic uptick or I could see a drastic downtick. But if I invest into Bitcoin a set monthly amount every couple weeks or every month or every week, whatever, that's going to be much more even. And that's what I think. That's my strategy. It's a lot less stressful. Lot, you know, and again, just focusing on building the cash flow, the big, because that's something you can control, is the cash flow. Get the cash flow big, get the investments on autopilot, and take it easy.
Yeah, and through these online assets we've built, like I said, dropshipping, content sites, Kindle, land, we were able to really knock off like the initial steps of financial freedom, whether that's, you know, paying off the house or, you know, having enough money to where you, you know, you could live pretty stably. And then once you've really lowered, you know, your personal debt to the lowest point possible, then you could start to make as many bets as you want, because the risk is extremely low.
Yeah, I think that cannot be understated. The what did you say? Oh, checking the box personal. What did you say? What's the first thing you said?
I don't know. I black out when I'm okay. On this podcast. So
whatever you said cannot be understated. Getting the personal debt, personal finance in order as much as possible, as fast as possible. And the younger you do that, I think the better off you're going to be. Because at the end of the day, what is the point of money if not to buy freedom and to buy your time back? Like, there's exactly. Literally no other – there's literally no other point, because you know it doesn't buy – you know, things are cool. Things are nice, but they don't provide long-term mental health and happiness. You know, if you can buy a sick – like you can buy a sick Lambo or something, maybe that'll give you some sort of short-term happiness. It's going to give you a lot less happiness if you finance that Lambo and then are stuck making huge monthly payments for 10 years, and then you're working a job you hate to do it. That novelty is going to wear off really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, our cousin, Jared, is, you know, a big crypto zoomer. he's been in on many a shitcoin. We haven't talked about NFTs, but, you know, a lot of the success he's had, even through crypto, has just been through, like, knowing people. Mm-hmm. And then they're just saying, like, hey, like, this is about to launch. And then he just gets it early because of networking. But that's not the point I want to make. The point I want to make is, so he also does, like, stock trading stuff. Again, like, high risk, speculative type stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the person that he's learned from, he knew personally, and he was basically telling him, you know, there's these websites where you can go and you can trade stocks like silly stocks, like it's not real. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like fake money.
Yeah.
To like practice. What the guy said was, don't do that for too long, because it's actually not going to help you, because you're not emotionally attached to the outcome, because it's not your money on the line. And so when your money is on the line and possibly, you know, your well-being, you make totally different decisions. Maybe you will not hold something for as long as you need to because you're scared, or maybe, you know, something's going down, you sell too quickly because, again, you're scared of the potential of not being able to pay off any debts you have, right? And so the point I'm getting at here is, once you're able to reduce the personal debt down to zero, you can sort of make these non-emotional high-risk bets. And since you're not emotional about them, your decision-making process is going to be much better, and you're much more likely to have a better outcome.
Exactly. I think at the end of the day, Mike, Tony Robbins was right. It all comes back to your mindset.
Yes, it does. So,
should we get to some of the chats?
Let's do it.
Some of these, I don't even think we can read half of these.
Yeah. Joel D, but he did say, I'm going to skim through Joel's comments here. He said a lot of fake NFTs are out there too, which I don't understand. He said a lot of fake NFTs are out there too. And I'm saying I don't understand how that could be possible, considering it's the whole point of an NFT, that it can't be faked. So I don't know. It could be fake in terms of like not being worth anything at the end, probably, but, you know, fake NFTs. I don't know much about that. But yeah, it looks like a lot of conversation about some DeFi ridiculousness that I don't even know. Yeah, and he said for NFTs, you need to find good projects / artists with popularity. Like Gary Vee has his own NFTs. Did you know that, Joe?
I did learn that yesterday. I was like jumping through all the Discords. A bunch of popular NFTs. I didn't join his, but I saw it. And I was like, holy. I was like, you know, at the end of the day, even though I might, you know, I'm going to mess around with it. I'm interested in it. Like, I might mint some stuff next week. But I still think it's pretty stupid.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have yet to fully conceptualize what this looks like. And it's like, it's so in its infancy. The way that it's being expressed right now, I think, is kind of stupid. It's like this little status symbol type thing. But what I do think you are going to start seeing is more and more of like actual communities. Like, for example, like I think if I had to explain NFTs to like our parents or something, I would use, say, like the Gary V NFT example, because people can inherently understand how someone that's has a name for themselves, has a brand that's like inherently valuable, right? And so you could, if you can own a collector's item for that brand, like you can own a collector's item of a sports player, like a piece of memorabilia, it's kind of the same thing, but it's the first time you can actually digitally own something.
Well, the thing that I, when I say it's stupid, so like when I joined like the Apes of Space thing, maybe it's because I'm not like privy to like the private channels. I don't quite understand like what, maybe I'm missing something. So excuse me if I am, but like, it doesn't really seem like the type of community that I was expecting. Like if you join our private Discord, you know, there's people talking, there's people helping each other about, you know, different things, you know, we're helping people in private channels. It doesn't seem like there's much actual conversation going on in these Discords. I feel like it's a lot of like,
yeah,
visual, like, and maybe I'm too much of a boomer. Like, it just seems like visual, like meme visual overload and like not very much conversation at all. And so I don't understand the community aspect of a lot of these NFTs, and I'm sure some are better than others.
Yeah, I can see it making sense if you have the community first. Like, if you have, like, an actual organic community, but it seems like a lot of these communities are coming together for the point of doing the NFT. So it's kind of, like, ass backwards. Like, there's no common interest. There's really nothing to hold the community together besides for the fact that everyone wants to own the NFT and, I guess, raise the price of it.
Yeah, it's, like, engage. Like, I know there's some of them that revolve around, like, actual games. So,
yeah,
I think those make more sense because you're playing the game and the NFTs are in the game and you're, you know, you could be the NFT in a way, or like a Pokemon, you know, you can own the Pokemon.
Yeah, I think really, like I was saying, how this is kind of in its infancy, what we're approaching is a new digital world of ownership, right? You play World of Warcraft, you don't own anything in that game. It's all owned by Blizzard. They, like I said, you're in their world. All the money you're spending is going to them. But as we get into this metaverse, this new metaverse, right, you're going to be able to go into these spaces, whether it is like a video game or what have you, and all the items in the game, the space itself, can be owned by individual people.
I really hate Facebook. Like, I really... I think they're the worst company in the world. I really hope that,
yeah,
whatever happens with these NFTs and tokens and owning digital assets, I really hope Facebook isn't involved.
You ever see Ready Player One?
Yes. It's actually one of my favorite movies.
I like it a lot, actually. It's a little bit cheesy, but I think...
it is a little bit cheesy, but...
It's okay.
I thought it was really cool. I don't know. I like it. I feel like... But you know what was interesting about it? What?
I liked it too. So it was really good.
It was interesting how, I guess because I watched, when people talk about like what's going to happen in the future, they say like everything's going to be like virtual. But there was like a good combination in that movie of like virtual and like real life stuff that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Buying. Freaking Joel. Buying land in gaming and DeFi game NFT is big money right now. Virtual land going for millions.
Yeah, one of my friends is telling me about this. Yes, the guy who's going to edit our podcast. he's asking me now.
Who's what?
Josh, the one that's going to edit our podcast. I was talking to him about this because he used to do some mining and whatever. I think he knows a lot, a decent amount about this, but and he might be watching now. He says, can you send me an invite to the crypto server? I'm like, what? When people start going crazy, you start talking about this stuff.
But what was your point about the virtual link?
Oh, he was sending me this thing how let me find the link. There's like these websites where you can buy like fake land. It's like a map, and you can own like, you know, pieces of property that isn't real. I'm trying to find the link.
Who's what?
Hold on, let me see if I can find.
What?
Okay, like a decent.
It's just like an NFT, and it's like a fake world. You know, it's just like a fake world where this community around this fake world.
If you go to earth2.io, it's something like this. So like,
number two.
Like earth, yeah, 2.io, and we check this out. You can buy like, there's a ton of these.
I hate this shit. Dude.
Yeah, if you go to buy land, you want to send a virtual mailer?
Honestly.
Yeah, if you go to buy land, like you can, you know, there's all this, I can't even speak to this. I don't even know what's going on, but you can buy these tiles of land on this map. Like, I can't.
What? I mean, okay. This is nuts.
These kids today.
That's what I'm saying. Like, imagine trying to explain this to a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old.
So you're telling me.
I saw some. You ever see like those memes where it's like the dad walking in with the pipe? It's like a little sketch drawing. It's like, are you winning, son?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll have to send you it. But yeah, I can't summarize it here. Oh, just trying to like, just, you know, imagine your dad walking in and say, are you winning, son? And you're talking to him about how you're buying non-existent pieces of land for hundreds of dollars.
This makes no sense.
But, you know, in 5 years, who knows? This is going to be the norm.
No, I think there's very legitimate, like, uses for this stuff. And then, I don't know. I feel like it has to come together in a way that ultimately makes sense.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it will. Yeah, it's just going to be things that we can't even foresee, just not even in our brains. It's not in the collective consciousness of the world. Winston asks, can your dropshipping store accept crypto? Yes. I'm almost positive you can take payments in Bitcoin. It's been around for a while. And I don't know what other ones you can do it in, but if you go into your Shopify store and you go into like the payments area, I think it shows you all the different ones you can integrate. Or just search Shopify crypto payments or something. But yeah, definitely.
I actually just Googled it. I'm on Shopify's website now. Fast transactions, low processing fees, no chargebacks.
Hey.
That's interesting. Yeah, I wonder, like, how do you claim that on taxes, though? Like, if you accept a payment in Bitcoin, you're supposed to claim it. Like, I was researching it this morning. Obviously, you're supposed to claim any sort of thing like that. But how can you claim something that's fluctuating in price? Like, if someone pays you a Bitcoin, what do you record that as on your balance sheet? If your return is done in U.S. dollars.
I don't know. But, yeah, you could integrate Coinbase on here. Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe we'll slap it up there just to see, you know, see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, Joe, imagine, you know, get 10 Bitcoins a month.
That's true.
But, I mean, probably only a small fraction of people would actually pay with that.
Yeah.
David Comerford said, I put all my money in a meme coin called GM. Hopefully I get rich and not rugged. Yeah, I don't know what GM is, if that's a joke. But good luck. Aaron says, when you exit a store, is there a good tax strategy to minimize taxes? Well, that would be an answer for a tax professional. But, I believe I can say that it's likely
don't
to be categorized.
Don't say any of that. Don't say anything.
Listen. Well, what I will say is, you know, if you make $100,000 on a sale, you can spend $100,000 on something else business related.
Depending on how you
made zero, you paid no taxes.
There you go. I'll give you a legitimate way to help with that. Actually, this is not tax advice, but this is very straightforward. Having an S corp is a great way to save money on taxes, period, no matter what your transactions are, no matter you know how you're claiming stuff.
Yeah. Dan Z said, I'm investing into Bowcoin. Yeah, that's what we're getting at with this episode. We need someone to actually make the Bow Punks.
Yeah, if someone wants to do it for us, I'm down.
Joel said, an e-com business is a good asset, can be used to leverage, can be sold 10x. Whenever someone asks me about drop shipping, I always send them over to two bald guys, Bill at Sunline, most legitimate guys in the space. Thanks, Joel. But I don't know how you're able to leverage the e-com businesses as you're discussing. Because really, even e-com is so new that I think you'd have a hard time leveraging against them aside from using like Shopify Capital.
And we know a person that did that very aggressive. I'd love to talk to him today. One of our old friends.
Yeah, one of our oldest dropshipping friends who actually left dropshipping to go do crypto. Yeah, at one point used Shopify Capital to get a bunch of money, and then I think he threw it all into crypto. And this was back in the day. This was years ago. So I hope he's doing well with that. Because, I mean, if that was put into Bitcoin, 3 or 4 years ago, I mean, he'd be sitting pretty right now.
Yeah.
He said, Nairb932 said, what are your thoughts about outsourcing skill sets to create an NFT collection to sell? Yeah, so I mean, you know, we talked about like buying the NFTs. You're asking about being the one to create the NFTs. Again, I think there's a lot that's outside of your control there in terms of like, cause you have to, I mean, there's not as much because you're kind of in control of like how you roadmap out the NFT space. But I do think it has to actually have some sort of luck where it becomes like a cultural thing. There's no like logical way to systematically create like value with NFTs. I think we're yet to see that, and it's going to be a multi-year project that you're not guaranteed to have a return on. So yeah, you're not gonna have the money for the developers if you don't have the cash flow coming in the first place. And you need dropshipping or any other online business for that cash flow.
There you have it. Well said.
Thanks. Yeah, Aaron, we'll tell you in the private chat. Yeah, he's talking about Decentraland, a game where you can buy land with coins. You know, as stupid as I think this is, Joe, I might buy some land. I might buy some virtual land.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you know, probably not I don't know, spend a little bit of money,
whatever,
buy all of New Jersey.
Why not? I'm gonna buy some stupid NFTs soon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I buy other stupid things. I have a stupid stuffed animal in the background.
What is that thing?
I got it off like a clothing drop that I bought. You see, exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like, I thought it looked cool. I was getting a couple shirts from brand Tsukami. I was like, all right, well, I'll get this thing too. I didn't know it was going to be that big, but I think it fits the set.
Is it a horse?
No, it's like a heart. It's uh-huh. Like the head is a heart and has like a pin going through it.
Huh. That's pretty cool. I guess.
But see, if I bought the NFT version of that, that can't be faked.
You could trade it much more easily.
Yeah. This guy actually does do NFTs as well, like collectible stupid things. But yeah, ABZ said, if you have 100 products in your high ticket store, are you going to run Google ads for all of them? Yes. You should have 1,000 products, 2,000, 3,000. And you should be running ads on all of them. Because it doesn't take much. 10 cents, 15 cents, start increasing bids on stuff that does well. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. How deep in are we, Joe? Okay, we're about an hour. So, and of course, our viewership is, you know, it peaks when we're about to leave.
Yeah. 18 people just joined. 19. Should we just be live all day?
I guess like a lo-fi channel.
I mean, I could just continue what I'm doing and then just sit on here.
Can we have our editor just do, like, create a live channel for us? Just, like lo-fi clips of just us talking, but, like, on a live loop?
We can. He's doing other stuff right now.
No, have him drop it.
Yeah. So, but it would be on this channel probably, right?
I think it's a good way to create viewership. Like, lo-fi e-com talk. You know?
So it would probably be like all of our episodes, right? Just into one.
Yeah, right? But like chopped, you know, like chopped and screwed kind of.
Like with a beat?
Yeah. Like a lo-fi beat. And then just like clips of, you know.
Send me an example of what you're talking about.
Okay.
I mean, look, I'm down to do that.
I sent you it the other day, the Michael Saylor thing with the jungle sounds.
No, I know that. I know that. But like for it to be live, it has to be like a 10-hour video, like looped. You know, together. Yeah. I'm down to try it. You can pop into the chat every once in a while.
Honestly, that's why we need more employees.
What's going on here?
So you just have meetings.
Okay, guys, this week we're gonna drop an NFT. Go.
Yeah, that's, you know, if you're steering the tanker, how are you gonna be in the hull? You know, managing the servers. Doing the dining, like you can't. You just have to be just directing the ship, and everyone has their role. And that's what has to happen. There's no way you can't run the tanker by yourself.
Yeah, no, we do probably need. I don't know what we need. Maybe something like that in the future.
All right, well, let's call it quits here.
Yep. How much? About... So someone's talking about. People doing hiring NFT artists on Fiverr, and yeah, so with that said, I don't think we can continue this.
You're asking us. I don't know.
I'm just gonna go to Fiverr, type in NFT. I will draw your 10,000 NFT collection.
If people are interested in the BAO NFTs, then you know, contact us if you're have any knowledge or you're in the course or what. Because, Joe, I mean, if we make 1,000 NFTs, it could be you with a blanket, without a blanket, with a hat, without a hat, eating a strawberry, eating a pear, you know, lot of, like, a super rare one, you with the blanket and a strawberry and a hat.
No, I'm looking on Fiverr. You can pay, so actually, like, you got to get 10,000 HD avatars for $1,000, or we can drop 1,000 HD avatars for $5,000. And so, like, all right, let's – if we were to drop
– You with hair? Super rare?
Maybe we could – what would we – like, I feel like we'd have to have good rewards for people who are in the NFT.
Yeah. I don't know. We have a community already. We have, like, stuff they can get.
But I feel like the cost of an NFT, like, is not – what we charge for our community is much higher than, like – what would we like? It's sorry, what an NFT costs is much lower than what we charge for and give in the community.
Yeah, I don't know. We need to talk with someone that knows what they're talking about, so we can make this this vision to come together. Nerd B said, "No, man, you make an NFT box with a face that's being dropped from the sky." I don't know what that means. Aaron says, "Whoever owns your NFT gets weekly calls." LMAO. Doesn't seem very passive for us.
Yeah, we could do a monthly private live stream, NFT only.
Yeah.
The merch private, could drop merch.
Private group calls for NFT holders.
Yeah. And then, people want to get out of the NFT. They don't want to be in the call. So they leave the NFT. They could sell their NFT, and then some of the other people get a chunk of what the sale is for, like depending on how you structure the contract.
Well, if they sell their NFT, yeah, they get the majority of it. I think like the way that they typically work is that the original creator gets a small percentage of every sale through history. So, you know, it's like maybe it's like a couple percent as it goes through time, but that's, you know, forever. The person selling the NFT themselves only gets that sale once.
Yeah.
Feel me?
Yeah. I like that concept. It's like a...
Yeah, or you can make an NFT pass for Bill. Matt Cool, you I believe are in our course. You said you have a dropshipping store, but your NFT collection popped off. So why don't you message us, Matt? You seem to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You guys should really make a collection. I mean, listen, people know we just come on this live and we just BS and we wanted to, this is like our business meeting, but live. So yeah.
Are you in our Discord, Matt Cool, or no? I don't know. I don't remember.
He's a long time.
Yeah, he is. If you know how to make the NFT, like if you want to facilitate the whole thing and work with us on it, then
Matt Cool was, I don't know if he left, but he was in our, he was chatting as late as October. So Matt, we'll see where you're at.
Oh, yeah, he's still in it. His message. All right,
Matt,
his Discord thing.
Going down.
He's his Discord away message is like finding lost NFT turtles.
All right, let's do it.
All right. There we go.
What do you think? NFTs or no?
All right, so we're gonna get off this call, Matt Cool. We'll see you in the private chat, and yeah.
Well, Joe, if people want to learn how to do online business,
they don't want NFT. They don't want nah. That's out. It's dead.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess we'll destroy the domain. But right now, it's buildassetsonline.com/playbook. You can learn how we generate cash flow through online business to sellable assets, not NFTs, but online business stuff. And yeah, check it out. buildassetsonline.com/playbook, free training, no minting necessary, no Ethereum necessary. And as always, take it easy.
Thanks for listening to the Build Assets Online podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, don't forget, subscribe, share, and leave us a rating on whatever platform you might be listening from. And if you're ready to learn how to build your own online business portfolio, start now by visiting buildassetsonline.com/playbook. We'll see you in the next episode.